At Short Creek Farm, a couple hundred acres of fields and forest in Northwood, New Hampshire, Jeff Backer and his business partner are raising about 400 pigs.
These are all our breeding animals. So these are all the sows and the boars. They live for the summer, like down in the woods. Here, it's like really nice and shady. There's like some little wallowing pools down there.
They started their operation in 2015, raising pigs on pasture and selling specialty sausages and salami made with their own blends of herbs and spices across New England. They've grown their business over the past few years, and in that time, they've also started having trouble at the slaughterhouse. Backer says they used to be able to book an appointment for slaughtering and processing the day the pigs were born, for 6 months out.
I don't remember when it was, but there was one time I called when the pigs were born to get a slaughter appointment for them, and they were like, oh yeah, we're booked for the next year.
In New Hampshire, there are only 4 USDA-licensed slaughterhouses, according to a legislative report from 2021. The state has no USDA-inspected facilities for poultry slaughter, and there are only 3 facilities in all of New England that will process birds for New Hampshire farmers. Farmers across New England say they're dealing with limited infrastructure for livestock. For Short Creek Farms, things got worse during the pandemic, and the challenge of getting slaughter dates led them to take matters into their own hands.
So we are in the entryway of Short Creek Farms' new/still-under-construction processing facility in Kennebunk, Maine.
Dave Viola manages the product side of Short Creek's business. He's literally the expert on how the sausage gets made. He says the biggest bottleneck is processing, turning a carcass into the packages of meat that go to consumers. That takes the most time at overbooked facilities. Short Creek will still slaughter their animals elsewhere, but soon they'll process them here at their own facility.
They're going to slide straight in to our processing cooler here. So this is where kind of all of the real nitty-gritty happens.
The new facility isn't massive. Their raw storage cooler is just big enough to hold 12 pigs and 4 cows. But they've sized it to provide capacity not only for themselves, but also for other livestock farmers in New England, struggling to find places to bring their animals. Advocates say this kind of new infrastructure for local food production could be an important part of making the region more resilient to climate change.
In a climate-changing future, present and future, we're seeing things like heat waves, droughts, fire regimes, a whole number of weather-related disruptions that are affecting the parts of the world where a lot of our food has come from in the past.
Lisa Fernandes is the communications director at Food Solutions New England, a group that's long been working to encourage more local food production in New England. But that's a challenge, as the national and global food system has consolidated into larger operations.
If we want to rebuild the semblance of a regional food economy, we need to identify those parts of that system that maybe we once had that we no longer have. That processing infrastructure for livestock and, you know, healthy local meat production is one of those gaps in pretty much every New England state.
Now, eating less meat overall helps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But in the U.S., about 90% of people eat meat. And with support from regional networks, small-scale livestock farmers can produce food in a way that works better with the environment in New England. They can be more adaptable to the effects of climate change and more likely to adopt new practices that help mitigate their impact on warming. Fernandes says that's all important, but ensuring access to local food that benefits everyone is bigger.
More local food production, even if it's done in a really climate-sensitive way, I think would still be a failure if we haven't addressed food insecurity and a lack of racial equity in the food system.
Fernandes envisions a future where a lot more food is local, though we'll always have to bring in some from far away.
But if we don't have to rely on that as much, then we have less vulnerability and more resilience.
Some New Hampshire farmers have already gotten a taste of how vulnerable the region could be, as global disruptions cause kinks in the food supply chain. Jeremiah Vernon raises chickens on his family's farm. He says when the COVID-19 pandemic began, demand for his meat skyrocketed.
We had people here who were like bearing their souls about how thankful they were that like we had food on the shelves.
Things have died down a bit since the start of the pandemic, but as climate change-fueled disasters move through the country and the world, Vernon says his farm could provide a lot of resilience to the community. He acknowledges his meat costs more than what meat costs at the supermarket, but he says he'd rather people eat less meat in general and appreciate what it costs to raise an animal in the right way.
What you see when you buy our food is the real cost of growing quality food. It's not sacrificial food.
Right now, he spends a lot maintaining operations for his birds, and when it comes time to slaughter them, he drives them all the way to New Jersey. The cost of gas is becoming more of a burden. Processing is the most expensive thing Vernon does, and he says the quality of the product can make a big difference for his bottom line.
Ground chicken patties that have fresh herbs in them. Like, you do stuff like that, you know, it's 10 cents worth of ingredients, but $2 more a pound. You know, like, that sort of thing is where you can just, that convenience is worth that to the customer. I don't have to even season this. I can just throw it right on the grill.
Vernon says he's hoping he'll be able to do that processing at Short Creek's new facility, meaning at least part of his operation will be closer to home. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Mara Hoplamazian.